And joining me right now here on a Tuesday to go over the latest on the Orlando Magic, who are now in a 2-0 hole to the Cleveland Cavaliers after another loss last night there in Cleveland. This guy does a great job as the radio audio man, play-by-play for the Orlando Magic. He's my good friend Jake Chapman. Jake, how you doing today?
Hey, Mark. I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right. I watched the game last night. You called the game. What happened there in Cleveland?
More of the same. More of what we saw in game one. A Magic team that is not making shots, and the Cavs are packing the paint. They're daring Orlando to shoot from the perimeter, and it's been an issue all season long. And so knock down some threes, and then you're in business, and I think that's the first thing that needs to happen, and it hasn't yet. And I'm not sure it's going to, right? You might need to figure out a few other ways to generate offense. The turnovers have been an issue. The slow starts have been an issue. You missed free throws on Saturday. That was an issue. Yesterday, it was an acceptable clip at the free throw line. Yesterday, it was offensive rebounds, and Jared Allen has dominated the glass. He had 9 offensive rebounds on his own yesterday. And so you've defended well enough to win both these games, but some small areas to clean up, like free throws, like rebounding, and those things, turnovers as well. But then, you know, first and foremost, what's kind of casting a shadow over the entire series is the inability to knock down shots. These have been open looks, Mark, a whole bunch of them, and the Magic just can't seem to step into it and knock them down. Hopefully coming back home, you get the comfort of your own building, and hopefully that'll change.
Was it very deflating last night where, okay, game one, you didn't have the experience. You got punched in the face, and you thought, okay, we'll make adjustments. But it's the same as game one. Is that just so deflating for this basketball team?
I think so. I think, look, I think going on the road and winning with an inexperienced team is going to be tough no matter what. So, you know, after game one, I didn't say if we lose game two, the whole thing's over. Like when the Cavs, you know, talk to me when the Cavs come and win at Kia Center. I think that'll be a big blow if that's what happens. I didn't, you know, I think there is something to be said about postseason jitters and the atmosphere and all of that stuff. But I thought, I don't think it's like a shying away from the moment type thing. I think the Magic have been physical enough. Now they need to rebound better. But I don't think they've necessarily, you know, backed away or shied away or haven't had enough energy. It's just a matter of execution. They're just not making shots, and it is a make or miss league. And I know it's not the greatest analysis in the world, but it's pretty simple. You shoot the ball a little bit better and you're going to be okay. I mean, to hold a team under 100 points and lose both of those games by double digits is, you know, it's pretty tough to do. Now look, no road team has won yet in the NBA playoffs. So, everybody is kind of holding serve at home, and then we'll see what happens when we get back down here at the Kia Center on Thursday night.
Okay, so what happened last night with Jalen Suggs? He bumps in towards Donovan Mitchell, he goes down. What happened there last night?
Yeah, it looked like they called it a sprain. It looked like, if you saw the replay, he kind of got rolled up from behind, and it looked like, you know, sort of a hyperextension or whatever. I'm not a doctor, but his knee bent a funny way, and he went down. And Jalen, you know, the football mentality, he's always on the floor. He's always getting nicked up. It's not rare to see Jalen down and in pain, but he stayed down. And so you thought that it was going to be something that potentially – could keep him out long term, but then there he was back on the floor to start the third quarter. I'm sure a lot of adrenaline carried him a little bit, but I think getting back into the locker room and realizing that there wasn't anything structurally wrong with it probably at least helped his confidence to be able to trust that he wasn't going to hurt it any further. I'm sure it's sore this morning, but Jalen's a dog. He'll be back out there on Thursday for sure.
We're here with Jake Chapman, radio voice of the Orlando Magic. Talking Magic, they lose last night by 10, 96-86. Like Jake is saying, game three is coming up Thursday night. All right, Suggs leaves the game, and just my perspective, there was a span there where it just looked like the Magic were lost without Jalen Suggs, and no one wanted the ball. And what happened when Suggs went down there?
Well, what Jalen's been doing is defending Darius Garland, and Garland's averaged almost 27 points a game in 3 games against us in the regular season. And Jalen's done a really good job of chasing him around and kind of keeping him out of it. And then you've got Donovan Mitchell elsewhere, and I think the Magic have done a good job with him. I think there was a bit of an emotional letdown when Jalen exited the game, and then he's so important. Sometimes you don't see exactly what he's doing, but he's so important defensively, especially in the half court. chasing around screens and staying locked in, that I think you saw just sort of a run. But there have been numerous runs with Jaylen in the game. The Cavs get going, and it generally starts with them stringing together a few stops, whether it's the Magic missing open shots or turning the ball over. So it was just one of those moments. It might have been part coincidence. It might have been part Jaylen out of the game, but it was. It was a pretty quick, what, 10-2 or something like that as soon as Jaylen went out. And then as they've done all series, you know, the Magic answered with a run. They keep on sort of falling down 15, 18, 20 points and then working their way back and getting back to within striking distance. Now it's just a matter of, A, not falling down into a hole that deep early. You were down 12 at the end of one last night. I think that's got to change, and I think that will change on Thursday. But being able to sustain and avoid those Cavs runs, when they start knocking down threes, turning you over, and letting their defense do the work, kind of like us, except the three ball isn't a big part of our attack, that's when they're really dangerous. And so we got to execute on offense first and foremost, and just stop those easy buckets for Cleveland.
Is it true the Magic have not had a lead yet in, what, so 96 minutes on the court? Is that right?
Yes. That is true.
Oh,
that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that is crazy. So if you go into game three, how do you try to attack the first quarter at home with the home crowd?
Well, I think you gotta trust in your defense. You got to try to force turnovers, and you got to get out and run. You got to figure out ways to help your offense. The open shots, I think, will fall eventually, and I think you're in a much better spot if you're at home than you may be elsewhere. With that said, I think you need to manufacture some offense. I think you need to try to turn them over, let your defense help you out a little bit. And the rebounding has been the big swing.
Yeah.
When the shot goes up, you got to hit somebody. We were minus 14 on the glass on Saturday. We were minus 7 last night, but the offensive rebounds absolutely killed you. Second chance points in that game last night. We're a much better rebounding team than that. For the regular season, we were a pretty significantly better rebounding team than Cleveland was, even with all that size they have. So I think you got to dig down deep and you need to be a little bit more physical. I don't think it's been, you know, the swing of the series is that we're just backing down from their physicality. But you know, we're a gang rebounding team. We got a bunch of guys who grab 7 rebounds, not necessarily one guy who grabs 18 or 20 like Jared Allen does. And so everybody needs to pick up in that department. I don't think we'll win a game in this series if we get out rebounded. I think that's going to be a big key, and I think the offensive glass specifically, we're such a poor shooting team at times that we need to give ourselves second chance opportunities, and we just haven't yet.
Does Cleveland just look faster on the court right now?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I haven't heard anybody really say that yet. I feel like they certainly look crisper and more comfortable. And some of that might be playing at home. Some of that is experience, and some of that's just Donovan Mitchell. Like, Donovan Mitchell is one of the fastest players in the league with the ball in his hands. He reminds me of Wade, the way he moves,
yes.
Right? Splitting double teams, and he's so shifty when he gets into the lane. But with that said, he had 14 points in the first quarter last night and then had 9 the rest of the way. So I think the Magic, by and large, have done a pretty good job defending him. But look, the Cavs have speed. They've got some pretty good, like, versatility on the defensive end with a guy like Mobley who can guard a whole bunch of different guys. And then their bench might not be fast, but they've been effective. George Niang is the opposite of speed, I would say. But he's defended really well. And last night it was Okoro and Caris LeVert combined for 18 points. So I think that, you know, they've gone to an 8-man rotation, and they just seem like everybody's comfortable on the floor together.
We're here with Jake Chapman talking Orlando Magic basketball. They are going to be playing the Magic Game 3, trying to get back in this series on Thursday night. Like you were saying, my eye test is every time on defense, the Magic, they force Cleveland to take a bad shot, and the ball's in the air. And then all of a sudden, Cleveland gets the rebound. Like every time, just every time you need the ball. The other thing is, Cleveland's not waiting for Orlando to set on defense. They're just going to start pushing it, and it always feels like, and I want to get your take, every time they push it, there's a guy open for a three-point shot, and he buries it on Orlando. Do you feel that way as well?
Yeah, and to me, that a lot of that is the Magic turning the ball over. I think the Cavs have averaged 10 steals in 2 games. They had 9 and 11, and I think they've scouted the Magic well. look, what they're doing is they're just packing the paint, right? And so you can't dribble drive. They're daring you to knock down shots from the perimeter. If you do, you'll loosen up the defense a little bit. But the other thing that's doing is it's taking away the pass. Like, we are just sort of tossing the ball around the perimeter.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, it's either a dribble drive into the trees into a bunch of guys waiting for you, or it's a three ball. And when we're at our best offensively, we're working inside out, right? You're getting the dribble penetration, but then you're kicking out for threes rather than throwing it around the horn, and somebody steps into a three that way. And that's sort of where we find our rhythm. So the offense is completely, you know, out of sync right now. And then I think that's what's leading to the Cavs getting runouts. In today's NBA, when you get a fast break, you don't go to the bucket like you and I did when we were in middle school and high school, Mark.
Yeah.
These guys fan out to the three-point line. That's what they do. The Cavs spent a lot of money in the offseason bringing in guys to shoot, Strus and Niang. They've got some other guys, but the way you mitigate our size, and this is something we're trying to do to them, and we haven't been as effective with it, is early offense. It is not letting those guys, the bigs, get down and set and planted in the paint. The Cavs have done a really good job of off of turnovers, off of fast break points, before we get our bigs down and set and camped out in the lane, of getting a three ball up, and it's been very effective, certainly.
All right, Paolo Banchero, is he just trying too hard, and it's just leading to bad turnovers right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I think it also goes back to what we were talking about. You know, the Magic or the Cavs are just packing the paint, and that takes away Paolo's bread and butter. He had, what, 6 turnovers last night, 9 in game one. The turnovers are, you know, that's a team stat as far as I'm concerned. Paolo's got the ball in his hands. He's leading the pick and roll. He's generating your offense in the half court. So I think, you know, Franz had 6 turnovers last night as well. I think it's the Cavs, you know, being aggressive defensively, kind of having a good game plan for us. And it really all goes back to making shots. You start making threes. Now you're attacking closeouts. You get the offense kind of working the way it's supposed to, with all parts chipping in. And then I think those turnovers will fall down. I think it's easy to look at Paolo and say, you know, he's got to be better, but I think the 6 turnovers last night and the 9 the other night is more a symptom of everybody on the floor not executing offensively.
All right, Franz Wagner, he hit some shots there in the second half. Like, at halftime, he had good stats, but by the end of the game, not really. What does he need to do to improve on the court?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I hate to sound like a broken record. Knocking down perimeter shots would help. I think Franz is trying to kind of get in where he fits in right now. Again, like, Franz's specialty is getting to the bucket, and it's just impossible with those bigs camped out in front of the lane. I would like to see Franz, this goes back to what we were just talking about. I think when you get out and go, and you push pace and you try to get some shots up early, I think Franz is not trusting his jumper right now, and it's hard to blame him. He's had a terrible year shooting the ball from the perimeter. He's dropped, I think, like 7 percentage points from last year, 8. He shot 36 last year. And he's shooting 28% this year from three-point range. He's a much better shooter than 28%. But he hadn't had it all season. So I think he's trying to be selective and trying not to get bad shots up. We need him to keep shooting threes. He's getting open looks.
Yeah.
You can tell he's sort of hesitating a little bit. But if they're backing off and waiting on him to drive, he's just got to pull from long range. Results be damned.
I know it's frustrating. I'm not going off the bandwagon. I hope you know that. I'm still going for the Magic.
Good.
All right.
I would expect nothing less.
I just want you to know that. How excited are you for game 3, buddy? First time they're having a home playoff game in, what is it, 5 years? How hyped are you?
Yeah, and it's the first time. It'll be my first time calling a home playoff game. I wasn't back yet. You know, I was with the Magic from 9 to 14, and then I left for a few years. So I wasn't back yet for the last time we had a playoff game in that building, the 18-19 season. I came back for 19-20, and then, of course, those playoff games were in the bubble. So it's a long time due and coming. You know, that team that lost to Toronto that year, what, a 5-game Raptors win. DJ Augustine hit that big shot in game one. That was a team that I don't think people had expectations for the future like they do for this group. So it feels like it's going to be the beginning of something special. Yes, we're down, but we're going to need all the energy we can get. And, you know, young teams are always this way, but you've seen it this year, Mark. We are a much, much better team. offensively shooting the ball, period, when we're playing in front of our home fans. So we're going to need everybody in, and it should be a whole lot of fun on Thursday night.
You and me talked about this for the last couple of weeks, where home court is going to be gigantic. And you brought it up earlier. All home teams are winning so far. It's that good for the NBA when you look at this?
Yeah, I think it's probably more coincidence than anything. I don't think there's anything to read too deeply into. But it is what it is. Like, you know, there's sight lines. We have Terrence Ross on the broadcast. It's kind of interesting. He's been doing the games with me for the postseason, and he was telling me after game one that he remembers Cleveland was a really tough place because the court is kind of elevated, kind of like you see some of those college courts, not like all the way up where you got to walk up steps to get up there. But it's like, it's almost like there's a court on top of a court. And he said it just kind of messes with your sight lines and your depth perception and all those things. So all those little things, especially for a young team, make a difference when you're at home. And then not to mention the energy of the crowd, the Jalen Suggs of the world, Cole Anthony, they really feed off the energy at Kia Center. They have all season. So I expect, and the other thing is this, the beginnings to games. I mean, we keep on falling down double digits within 5-6 minutes of the first quarter starting, and now all of a sudden you're digging out. We're just not built to dig out of deep holes because we're not a good three-point shooting team. Hopefully the energy in the building carries you to a good start on Thursday night because you're going to need it.
What's it like calling the games with Terrence Ross then?
Oh, it's been fun, man. It's been very cool. I've done 2 seasons now where I've just been talking to myself and screaming into the abyss. So it's nice to have somebody who knows what he's talking about next to me. And look, a year ago, Terrence was getting ready for a postseason run with the Phoenix Suns. So he's still so close to the game. He knows all of these guys. He knows all the guys on our roster, obviously. And he's been great. It's funny, Mark. Like, I'm old enough now, you know, I got Terrence Ross next to me, and I'm obviously looking to him for insight and information and all of that stuff. And then I realize I'm 8 years older than him. it's like appealing to an authority who's much, much younger than you. But he's been fantastic. It's been really fun getting to know him a little bit better and then doing the games with him as well. It's funny, too, because, you know, we're sitting there, Mark, in the studio, and he's sitting right next to me. It's kind of close quarters, and I feel him leaning and sort of like ready to burst out of his seat as he's watching the plays develop. These guys are so smart. They see so much that as a play-by-play, I've been doing this a long time. There's no way I could see all the stuff that Terrence is gathering as the play is developing away from the ball, all of that stuff. So he's a wealth of knowledge, and it's been fun these first two games.
Do you get a sense from him as a guy that played for the Magic that he wants to be out there helping them hit three-pointers right now?
It's funny. I was kind of gauging that, like how much does he just want to jump through the television and grab, especially because of how much we're struggling to shoot. And, of course, when we tweeted about it, you know, there were a few comments. We need you out there, Terrence. We need the human torch. I think he's done a pretty good job of embracing the fact that he's learning something new. It's a new challenge for him. I know he wants to be out there, and I know he wants to help, and I know he probably could help. He's certainly in good enough shape, and that jumper, it doesn't go away. And, you know, I asked him, I said something like, what did I say? It was during the break. I said, when you were younger, did you ever get discouraged? Were there ever games where you started 0-4? He goes, no, I was a good shooter. I never got discouraged. His whole career, he was right. He was a shooter shoot, and Terrence Ross, I think, illustrated that better than many.
And the weirdest stat about him, he won a slam dunk contest with Toronto.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Rookie year. It's back in 2013, and people forget he played in an Eastern Conference Finals in 2016 against that LeBron championship team in Cleveland. And so he knows very well what that crowd is like, what that court is like, and what going to Cleveland and trying to steal a playoff game can be like.
Let's end with this, and I appreciate coming on here with Jake Chapman. He's going to get ready for Game 3, where the Magic, they're a 2-0 hole right now to Cleveland. Yes, it's going to be there at the Kia Center if you want to go. Look, Magic Twitter, they every play. I know you're not seeing it. You're calling the game. The Magic fans are locked in. They are watching these games, and they're listening to these games. They are locked in. I hope you know this, buddy.
Oh, I see it when I get home. And I'm from Cleveland, so heading into the series, I saw all the angst and all of the nervousness about Donovan Mitchell's future, about J.B. Bickerstaff as head coach, about Darius Garland, X, Y, and Z. It's amazing what one win will do, right? We react so much in every direction. So when I get home, I check my For You tab on Twitter, and I see exactly what every Magic fan thinks. And, of course, it's all doom and gloom right now. Come back on Thursday, get game three, and everything will be roses and gumdrops again, I think.
Jake Chapman, my man, thank you so much for coming on, and good luck with the rest of the series, all right?
Anytime, buddy. Thanks, Mark.